I'm Anna Carmo with UN News. The number of plants and animals on the planet that are at risk today would be far higher without globally agreed safeguards and action to protect them. But it's still far from good enough, UN biodiversity experts said on Tuesday. In a call for far greater commitment from all nations to safeguard human well-being and the planet's, the body that oversees this work, the Convention on Biodiversity, urged all those gathering for a UN summit at the end of the month to broaden their ambition. From the convention, here's Executive Secretary Elizabeth Murema and Deputy Executive Secretary David Cooper talking to UN News' Daniel Johnson.
Just, if you wouldn't mind, Elizabeth Murema, give me the classification of biodiversity and, in particular, why is it important?
In simple words, biodiversity is everything around us. And when I say everything around us, it means everything we do as human activities affects biodiversity. It could be what we do on the land, what we do in the atmosphere, what we do in the forest, what we do on species, animals, plants. I mean, what we do as we produce our food, as we consume, all are biodiversity. So our human actions determine the nature of biodiversity around us.
And what we're finding is that, in fact, biodiversity is in massive trouble, and your report from the Convention on Biological Diversity, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, tells us that only 6 out of the world's 20 goals on biodiversity have been achieved, and only partially achieved, by the deadline, which is actually this year. So, to be honest, I wasn't aware that the governments of the world had agreed in Japan in 2010 to a series of biodiversity targets. And you're saying that only 6 of 20 goals have been partially achieved by the 2020 deadline. So what is the concern? Which of these, it's obviously a very bad report card, but where have we gone wrong? And please don't say everywhere.
No, because there's some progress. But indeed, unfortunately, biodiversity is declining at unprecedented level or rate, and pressures deriving the decline, unfortunately, so increasing, just as you have underlined. So, and indeed, the scorecard has only identified 6 of the 20, so not even half. And the 6 are in the areas of deforestation, where at least deforestation has gone down by a third or 30%. Fisheries management, fisheries catch has also improved, clearly indicating where appropriate policies on fisheries management have been put in place, then the fishery catch has and abundance has increased and improved. Eradication of alien species, particularly from the islands, has equally improved. Protected areas has increased from 10% to 15% in terrestrial and 3 to 7% on marine areas. We also learn, much as extinction, species extinction are really threatened in the history of mankind, but still, where conservation measures have been put in place, have improved and reduced extinction of species, without which the situation will even be worse than what we are talking today.
I think joining us now, we are very fortunate to have Mr. David Cooper, Deputy Executive Secretary of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity. Welcome to you, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Thank you ever so much for joining us. We were just talking there with Elizabeth Murema, Executive Secretary, on the really mixed report card, I think that's the charitable way of putting it, of the biodiversity targets that were set back in 2010. So a decade on, we've got only 6 of 20 goals partially achieved, although Elizabeth was saying that there has been some good work on eliminating foreign species from islands and in the fisheries too, and other national programs that perhaps you could tell me a bit more about to give us maybe a little bit of positive news in what is a pretty pessimistic outlook for humankind and also for biodiversity moving forward.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Even in those targets that haven't been partially achieved, the targets that haven't been achieved, there is some signs of progress, as Elizabeth has mentioned, in reducing deforestation rates, in improving fisheries management, in dealing with invasive alien species, and in reducing extinction rates. So the numbers of bird and mammal extinctions that have occurred over the past 10 years, or indeed over the life of the convention, would have been at least two, perhaps up to four times higher without the actions that have been taken. So one clear message, despite the disappointing overall results, one clear message is policies do work if they are put in place and implemented. And so we need to learn from that. We need to be encouraged by that. We need to step up those policies more widely in order to reduce the rate of biodiversity loss. The report also shows that if you want to actually not only reduce the rate of biodiversity loss, but bend that curve and put nature on a path to recovery, then more fundamental actions are also needed, looking at the way we produce and consume food in particular, but sustainable production and consumption patterns more broadly as well.
I'm just going to dive in there because the report is pretty alarming, and I'm very glad to hear about some of these national projects that have been successful in boosting biodiversity. But the report says that the rate of biodiversity loss is unprecedented in human history. I guess we did know that, really. And pressures are intensifying, and Earth's living systems as a whole are being compromised. And of course, we can't have this discussion without talking about COVID and how the degradation of our natural environment has, I suppose, put us closer into contact with the viruses in the natural world. Is that the kind of thing that's really going to galvanize support for greater support for nature, greater protection for nature? If we don't do so, we're going to be in huge trouble ourselves for once.
Certainly, I hope so. There's very clear evidence, as you say, that the degradation of ecosystems, encroachment into natural areas, unregulated wildlife trade, these things increase the risk of emergence of future diseases, increase the risk of future pandemics. And conversely, if we can invest in conservation and in restoration, regulate and control the wildlife trade, we will reduce those risks. So these are certainly really important reasons on top of, you know, wanting to prevent the sixth mass extinction. These are really positive reasons also for investing in biodiversity.
Can we just talk about the Convention on Biological Diversity, its history and how many signatories it has, and how you're going to get more governments to sign up to it? I don't know who wants to take that one.
The convention itself, I can say it's already universal. We are only missing, I would say, one government or state, and that's the United States and the Vatican City. Okay. Otherwise, the rest of the world is a party. So one can clearly say it's universal.
So why hasn't it been more successful?
So, as you know, 10 years ago in Nagoya, these set of targets were agreed. Actually, they were then agreed more broadly through the UN General Assembly as well. What we've seen is that countries were then supposed to set their own national targets in order to achieve those global targets. And most countries have set national targets, but they have fallen short, generally speaking, of the scope and ambition needed to achieve those global targets. Secondly, they've also fallen short in many cases in implementation. So countries need to certainly commit at the upcoming meeting next year in Kunming to the ambitious targets needed to bend the curve of biodiversity loss, but then that needs to be followed up with concrete implementation on the ground.
But the report is saying that we really do need to change the way we tackle biodiversity and protecting biodiversity, and it recommends eight specific actions, from land, protecting land to forests, to sustainable agriculture, fisheries and oceans, I guess we've spoken a bit, but also more novel approaches to cities and public infrastructure, how we can deploy what you call green infrastructure and making space for nature within cities. And then, of course, we've got climate action, and even health is part of the key recommendations. So which one of these recommendations is going to really cut it with people? What's going to make them want to change their actions? Because I guess there's an element of the government taking a stance, but it's going to need to come from everyone, isn't it?
Correct. One thing we need to understand is that all these recommendations, each is connected to the other, and you cannot prioritize them. Because when you talk of food systems or food depends on agriculture, depends on fisheries, depends on freshwater, depends on the soil or the land, And of course, when you talk of the forest, this is where the infrastructure timber comes in. When you talk of the cities and greener cities, you need the forest, we need the green spaces. And again, all these have an impact on climate. All these, again, have an impact on the unsustainability of any of these recommendations, have an impact on human health.
And in just a nutshell, because we haven't got long, in the upcoming UN summit on biodiversity at the end of this month, what's the first thing you're going to say? Who's the first person you're going to go and find? And what's the message you're going to ask them?
I think in a few words is to basically remind everybody the situation we are in currently. And that's the pandemic, that we'll even have the summit virtually. And that part of the reason has to do with biodiversity, encroachment into the wild, as it is being alleged. So the suffering everybody has gone through, the losses, both in lives and economy the world has gone through, should serve as a stark reminder that we need to change our relation with nature, human being relations, human actions with nature. We need to look at nature completely different and transform our actions on nature.
And if I could turn to you, David Cooper.
So, and of course, it's a summit at the level of heads of state and government. And really a key message is that heads of state and government have to take charge of this issue. It's an issue that requires action across the whole of government, indeed across all sectors of the economy or sectors of society. So take charge, take responsibility, and we can then make more progress in the coming years.